This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Green Sky Bluegrass. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today to Paul Hoffman from the group Green Sky Bluegrass. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to be able to talk shop with you and talk about the group's brand new recording, Shouted, Written Down, and Quoted. And greenskybluegrass.com is the name of the website. I want to mention that from the top, and we'll mention that again. I think where I wanted to start, well, actually, let's do this, Paul. Before we get started with the questions, maybe we should let listeners know, in case they don't know, the names of the other musicians in the group.
Sure. We are a five-piece acoustic quintet. Sometimes it's bluegrass. Quite often it's something entirely different, and that different ranges from psychedelic jam music to funk music to soul, Americana, just kind of whatever we feel like playing and writing. But like I said, there's five of us. Our dobro player's name is Anders Beck. Our bass player's name is Michael Duvall. And the guitar player and other songwriter in the band is David Bruza. And then our banjo player's name is Michael Arlen Bont.
Well, being a fellow Midwesterner, I know where Kalamazoo, Michigan is. But I thought I'd like to start there with just kind of telling folks about Kalamazoo. Like, if someone had never been there, like, how would you describe Kalamazoo? Because this is where your guys' roots are.
Well, if I was standing in front of that person, I would put my right hand in the air and point to where Kalamazoo is on my palm, because that's what Michiganders do.
Yeah, that's true.
The only native in our band of Kalamazoo is Dave Bruza, and Bont, our banjo player, and myself both moved there from close by to go to college, and that's kind of where the three of us met, now almost 16 years ago. And we lived there as a band. Our bass player came there for college, also Western Michigan University. And we lived there for quite a while, all of us, and just kind of became a band and found our place there. Our home venue was Bell's Brewery, kind of a famous beer. And slowly but surely, we started playing every other state in America. We only got one left.
Do tell, which is the state we're waiting on?
Delaware.
Delaware, really? All right.
Strange, well, right? We like to make people guess because mostly they won't.
Yeah.
Ironically, well, Delaware is the first state. Yeah.
is that purposeful? You're gonna hold off for the first state, maybe?
You know, I think it's small, so it's easy to skip. I don't know.
Well,
that's personal, Delaware.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping that you get to Delaware sometime soon. So to follow that question up, would you say that there is something that is quintessentially Kalamazoo about your music? I've asked that of a number of the guests I've had on recently. In a lot of cases, a sense of place can influence a group's music in ways that that may not be as obvious on on the surface.
Yeah. You know, I've read some stuff about how people say we have this like Rust Belt, economic depression vibe to a lot of our music. Indicative of the struggle of Michigan to shift from a, great industrial capital of making cars to something less than that over the last, 20, 50 years. I think there's times when we talked about moving to North Carolina as a band really early on, and I don't know if, that would have made our sound a little bit more like bluegrassy. Or often we were mistaken for a Colorado band because we've got this like extended jam vibe thing. And now three of us do live in Colorado. Somehow being from Michigan made us unique. And Michigan had this really cool, still does, kind of a folk Americana music movement. You know, like less genre specific, but just a lot of really good songwriters. And some of those people were biggest influences on my writing because they were my friends. Joshua Davis, Seth Bernard, Rachel Davis, just friends of ours in the community that we played with a lot. And so that's probably the biggest influence of our Midwest roots, just the people we grew up playing music with.
But there's always two sides to the way both of the stories go. Sometimes things better left unspoken should be shouted, written down, and quoted. These hands can't hold the time. Better use them wisely while they still are mine. Hold on and hope for the best. Singing to me, all come from you to tell me the things I couldn't see. And when my eyes have awoken to the things I've broken, I'll be gone, distracted by something else. These hands can't hold the time. Better use them wisely while they're still on mine. Hold on and hope for the best. Here a while instead, to reflect on what I've done and the things I never said. And when I'm good and acquainted with the bottle, I'll continue down the way that I started. These hands can't hold the time. Better use them wisely while they still are mine. Hold on and hope for the best. Hold on and hope for the best. Hold on. Hold on.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Paul Hoffman from Green Sky Bluegrass. Paul, let's talk about shouted, written down, and quoted. And the first question I have is that photo on the front of the album. I encourage listeners to go to greenskybluegrass.com, well, to pick up the CD or find the recording online. But that the photo on the front of it, where does that come from? It's a great, great image.
The album cover, it is interesting. It's Douglas Fairbanks, and it's part of a war bonds campaign from World War One that he was on with Charlie Chaplin and another woman that was running it. I forget her name. Douglas Fairbanks was the highest paid actor of all time at that time. So it was kind of a charismatic ploy to help to sell these war bonds. But we chose the photo because it just kind of like goes with the album title really well, and it conveys something simple. It's interesting. It's definitely not a political statement in any way, but kind of has some strange implications.
Well, to the music, if I'm not mistaken, there were two very distinct locations that you guys worked with in terms of doing the recording. Is that right?
Correct. We did the bulk of the recording in Asheville, North Carolina, at a studio called Echo Mountain. It's an old church. It was really cool. And then we sort of left things unfinished, and we went and did some touring for a couple months, and then we went back to a different studio not back we went to a different studio in Nederland, Colorado, like really isolated up in the mountains in February in the winter time. It's pretty cool, and we did a lot of finishing stuff there, like adding textures and harmonies and, you know, rearranging some stuff and working on the mixing and track order. It's cool. It's the first time we've ever really separated an album into more than one part that far apart. Gave us a lot of time to like go sit with it and think about it and think about what was working and what we wanted to change. At the time, we had done some multiple variants of different things so we could compare and kind of marinate on them for a while.
Well, I've been to both of those locations, and they're two of the most beautiful places in the country. So good choice on you, on your guys' part for picking those two locations. How's the project sitting with you at this moment? I'm always interested in, you know, the course of a recording, and we're talking to you now as we were doing this interview right now. It's very fresh in terms of it being released. So, I mean, how's the project sitting with you as a player and as a musician and as one of the composers?
It's sitting well, I suppose. I like the record a lot. I listen to it a lot. This is the first record that we ever made that we hadn't played anything live before we recorded it. That percentage has sort of been shrinking from album to album. As our catalog grows, I suppose the need to introduce new songs is less urgent than it was years ago. So that made the process kind of interesting and artistic in a different way than we're used to. That was fun. But it also made the year between recording it and playing any of the songs a long listening process to remember how to play them.
$27 in an old jean jacket. There's dust under the collar, 'cause I've been walking for hours, but I'm almost where I said that I would be. Just like on television, this heart full full of ambition has been haunting my dreams, reaching for grander things, and I never really knew they could be mine. But I'm out way past my prime, looking for reasons I didn't get my time. Promised myself I would not escape. One more drink and I'm anyone's useless mess. Just a helpless man with no self-defense. If I'm not yours, what are you looking for? But I'm out.
One of the quotes that I read about the album said it was wild and wide-ranging, but I would add coherent. I mean, I hear a lot of different influences in there, but as I'm listening to this album, it's fairly fresh to my ears, as it is to everyone's ears. There's a real coherency to me from song to song. I mean, there's some variety, but it all those songs and all those varieties of colors and so forth, they work coherently to my ears. Is that something that you guys really focused on, or is that something you think that just comes organically from your process?
You know, I very much appreciate your comment of its coherency, because it's me that often says that our records kind of feel like a mixtape or something to me, because I think when we were first a band learning to play bluegrass, there was something for us about playing 2 hours of straight bluegrass that was like not enough variety and difference. So this is why we started to like incorporate all these other elements into our music, and like play a reggae song, then play a fast bluegrass song, then play a mid-tempo bluegrass song, then play a funky song or something like that. Funky. I sound so not funky when I said that. But it's something that's like very indicative and important about our band, that we, you know, play this cascade of these different soundscapes and styles. So for me, like, I often think our records are kind of very much not like Dark Side of the Moon, you know? They're not like this think piece that's one coherent album, which I think is okay. So for you to say that it's coherent is kind of a compliment for me. I take that as a very kind review.
Well, so it's safe to say that what I'm hearing is coherency between the songs is something that happened organically. It was not something where you said, hey, our albums have been sounding like mixtapes, let's try to rein it in a little bit more, make it more focused. It's not that. It's just something that just happened through the recording process.
Yeah, and I think with every record too, where I think the songs, you know, cascade this like wide range of styles or vibes or something, they're still all written in the same time period and recorded in the same time period. So we have like, you know, one of my favorite quotes about making a record is a recording of an event. And for me as a writer and as an artist, the most beautiful part of making an album is the commitment to your piece of music in that moment in time. And because we're a band that isn't really concerned with, you know, like playing something the same every time, or, you know, like presenting this like piece of music exactly like it sounds on the record, there's something about like, just like when we're recording, and when we have all these options, like should it be this way or should it be this way, or should we do this vocal or this vocal, at some point you make a commitment to the way you want it to be in that moment right there. And something really powerful and beautiful about that for me.
This is John Floridis and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Paul Hoffman from Green Sky Bluegrass. Paul, one of the things that's very apparent when checking out your music and going through your YouTube videos and so forth, you guys like to do cover songs. You like to rearrange and reimagine songs by other artists. And one of the things that I like about your covers is I think that they do, you know, what to me the best musicians do with songs by other artists. They pay tribute to the original artist, but they also, you know, try to put something, bring something new to it and bring a new voice to it. And I know that you guys cover everything from Bill Withers to Prince and Elton John, Grateful Dead, Dire Straits, Coolio even, I saw in there. What do you look for when you are looking for a song that you want the band to inhabit?
Quite often that answer is just as simple as something I want to sing or Dave wants to sing. But it has been pretty fun over the years. I think being a bluegrass band, you know, like the nature of bluegrass is like these old fiddle tunes that got rearranged for bluegrass music. So learning bluegrass, we became really good song arrangers. So digging into When Doves Cry and figuring out how we're going to convey it with our instrumentation has always been a really fun challenge for us, and has taught us a lot about what we can do with our instruments that we then incorporate into our own music. So we've learned a lot from learning all these obscure things that were not written for a five-piece acoustic quintet. But there's some funny tricks over the years that we've come up with for doing it, and it always, like, there's always this sort of cerebral conversation involved too. So a song that I use as an example quite often is Beat It, which we were learning with the day Michael Jackson died. And we'll learn a song, you know, and we'll learn it like the way that it is, with the textures as close as we can, and try and convey the instruments, you know, like be the keyboard is the banjo, and the, you know, we all share the role of the drum kit. So there's these really fun conversations that happen when we try to figure out who does what. But then sometimes it's like we also have to talk about the energy of the original song. And like when we were playing Beat It at Michael Jackson's tempo and feel, it just wasn't conveying the excitement that we thought it needed, so then we played it bluegrass instead. But other songs, you know, like we play American Band occasionally, the rule for that song is it's supposed to be played when we're late for the gig and we get no sound check, then we open with American Band. A little inside tip into the set list there. Usually that's the only way we'll play that song, because it's cheesy as all get out. But Grand Funk Railroad's from Michigan, so I mean...
Yes, that's right. You know, good choice. Grand Rapids, right?
I think they're Detroit guys. East side.
Oh, that's right. Maybe you're right, yeah.
But we play that one. Like they do, you know. We didn't try to... We didn't bluegrass it, because it didn't need it. But it is a really fun process. And the list for us over the years is really long, and all the things we've played. It's kind of crazy.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children, and we know what we want, and the future is certain. Give us time to work it out. Yeah. and their ride to nowhere. We'll take their ride. I'm feeling okay this morning, and you know we're on a road to paradise. Here we go, here we go. We're on a road to nowhere. Come on inside. Take that ride. Maybe you wonder where you are. I don't care. This is where time is on our side. Take you there. Take you there.
Shouted, Written Down, and Quoted is the most recent recording from Green Sky Bluegrass, and greenskybluegrass.com is the name of the website, and it's spelled just like it sounds, Green Sky Bluegrass. And Paul Hoffman, great talking to you and getting to know you a little bit better here through our conversation, and great having a chance to talk shop with you here on Musician Spotlight.
Thanks so much for chatting with me. Send some love to the Wilma Theater for me. It's one of our favorite venues in the entire country.
All right, we sure will. Thanks so much, Paul.
A head full of dreams on the shoulders of a falling queen. Her eyes just like dynamite from the back of a mail order magazine. With no line, there's nothing to cross. With no road, nothing to hold. Maybe you'll find a boat. I think I'll run before they know what I have done. Gonna clear myself from here. Maybe a while before I feel alive.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Green Sky Bluegrass. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online at Facebook, as well as through Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast and as well can be found on iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.